gospel service this afternoon. I'm going to read two parts in the Bible. The first one you'll find in the book of Acts. The book of Acts, chapter 17. And we'll just break in. We're not going to read the whole chapter, although maybe we should, but we're not going to. So Acts chapter 17 and verse 1. Now, when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbaths reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs to have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of chief women not a few. And we're just going to go down to verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming out thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These Bereans, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily, whether these things should be so. Therefore many of them believed. And then we're just going to go down to verse 22. In fact, I'm going to read verse 16 to you. Now when Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Verse 17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars' hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world, and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has appointed the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they may feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of God, think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed the day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all, in that he raised him from the dead. When they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and all are said, We'll hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed. Our second reading is in Luke chapter 24, please. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And this is the Lord Jesus. He has died, and he was buried, and he rose again. And this is him on resurrection ground talking to his disciples. In verse 44 he said, And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of all these things. Just going to focus primarily on verse 46 and 47, and then we're going to go into Acts 17. And Jesus said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. I don't know about you, but I love to hear the gospel preached. And you go into the book of Acts, and you read that Peter stood up with the 12 beside him and preached unto them Jesus. And thousands became Christians. Thousands repented of their sins and said, Men, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter would say, Repent and cut yourself off from this untoward generation. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And 3,000 folk were saved. He would preach again, and 5,000 folk were saved. And the Christians would be scattered with the persecution thanks to the Jews. And wherever they preached the gospel, and people heard the gospel. And people responded to the gospel. And people's lives were changed with the gospel. Not everybody, but people's lives were changed by the gospel. And you know, when we hear the gospel in 2023, we just wonder sometimes, we hear the preaching of the gospel. We hear Christ being exalted. We hear Christ on the cross. We hear Christ rising and being able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him. And we don't seem to see, and we don't seem to hear locally of people turning from their sins. And why is that? What is the gospel? Are we preaching the gospel wrong? Have we got the wrong gospel message? So this is why we've gone back to Luke chapter 24. And I've written an extremely cheesy title here, but I've written the five-star gospel in action. The 5 points that the Lord Jesus mentioned about the gospel. And I just want to focus on this here. And what I want to do is I want to exalt the gospel. I want to exalt Christ in your thinking this afternoon. Because if Christ is not in the gospel, we don't have a gospel at all. The first thing the Lord Jesus said, these are the words that I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all the things that were written must be fulfilled. The things that were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So what is the gospel message? Where can we find the gospel message? Is this man's thinking? Is this the Bridge End Gospel Hall Club's thinking? The gospel we preach can be found here. If you have a Bible, I don't mind or care where you go to church or what you think you might be label-wise. But the gospel is found in the Bible. The gospel is found from Genesis right through to Malachi. That Adam fell. Adam fell because of sin. Adam fell because of disobedience. Adam was challenged by Satan. Did God really say that? Are you sure God said that? And Adam, his wife was deceived. But Adam wasn't deceived. Adam willingly took of that fruit. And Adam was put out. And as in Adam, all die. So here we are. Here we are, a dead people. What good works are you going to do to get right with God? What good thing are you going to say and be to get right with God when the Bible tells us that in our natural state, we're dead towards God? Now, I don't know if you ever have seen somebody dead or not. It's not a sight you want to see very often. But you see maybe someone you've loved and they're lying in their coffin. That's a horrible sight. That one you loved has gone into eternity. What can that person do to save themselves? What can that person be? What can that person give to get right with God? They can do nothing because they're dead in their sins. That's what the Bible teaches. As in Adam, all die. But you know, the gospel through the Old Testament is telling us that someone's coming. There's going to be a mediator. There's going to be someone who's born of a virgin. There's going to be someone whose name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And he's coming to be born of a virgin. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, there's someone coming in the Bible. Who can it be? Emmanuel, God with us. We go on to Isaiah 44, 45 and 46. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. Oh, God is a Savior. Yes, we are dead in our sins. Yes, we have got no hope and can't do anything to save ourselves. But God is a Savior God. And God is going to send someone who can save us from our sins. We go to Isaiah 52. And there we read of a man whose visage was more marred than any man. His form more than the sons of men. A man who was beaten, unrecognizable as a man. Who is this? Isaiah 53 says he's a lamb. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, he opens not his mouth. Oh, the Bible from Moses, the Psalms, and all the prophets are telling us about someone who's coming. Telling us about the Lord Jesus Christ. That one, Isaiah 53, says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripe we are healed. Where can we find the gospel, Robert? Where is the gospel to be found? It's to be found in the scriptures. If you're depending on anything else to get you to heaven, if you're depending on anything else to get right with God, it's not the gospel. And you'll never be saved. You'll go into a lost eternity forever. Because Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. Where can we find the gospel? We can find it in here. It's in the Bible. You know, I was struck by what the Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 21. He says, heaven and earth will pass away, and my word will never pass away. So we are depending on the gospel. We have to get it from the Bible. We have to see what the Lord Jesus said. And he said, then beginning, where are we at here? Well, it was written in the law of Moses and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened up their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We need to be Bible based. You know, you read and you see America and all these things. Oh, you know, if you want to get right with God, raise your hand. If you want to get right with God, just sign this prayer card here and everything's going to be okay. Well, my friends, if you're depending on that for eternity, you're depending on a broken stick. You need to be depending on Christ. So this five-star gospel starts off as in the Bible. Regardless of what name you go under, regardless of what you believe, regardless of where you hope to be buried or think you'll be buried, because that might cut favor with God. My Bible tells me that the gospel is here. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that one who came to suffer and to die. But not that's the first part. The second part is that Jesus said unto his disciples, it was absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer. Now, whenever I was a wee boy, and that's a while ago before somebody said it, when I was a wee boy, we would go to the gospel meeting every Sunday night, whether you wanted to go or not, and you would sit there and you'd hear men talk about the Lord Jesus Christ, men talk about the gospel and things like that there, and you know, really, sometimes you're a bit tired of it all. Oh, I'm not really enjoying this at all. As those men would labor and point to Christ suffering for sin, suffering for my sins. Do you know what? I was a bit tired of it all. But you know, if somebody came and they would maybe say, hey, well, obviously you know where I come from, but maybe they were a wild person in their life. Maybe they were a terrorist. Maybe they were an IRA man or a UVF man or UDA man. And they came and told, well, not mention any names, but somebody's coming on Sunday night and they're going to tell you how they became a Christian. You know, they shot so many people, they strangled so many people, and they blew so many people up. And you know, as a wee boy, you're all excited. oh, this is going to be so exciting. I'll need to come. I'm definitely coming next Sunday. My ma's not going to need to pull me by the ear to get me to hear this man. All you're interested in was hearing a story. But that's not the gospel. That's how that person became a Christian. But that's not how you'll become a Christian. Everyone who's truly born again is a miracle. It's a miracle that God in heaven looked down on us, that God in heaven loved us, that God in heaven sent his Son to die for us, and the Spirit of God spoke into our heart, convicted us of our sin, and drew us to Christ, drew us to repent of our sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, whether you were a terrorist, a tomboy, or whatever else you were. Everyone's a miracle. And that's not the gospel. Jesus said it was necessary. It was necessary for Christ to suffer. I've spoken this before, so I don't want to go over old ground. Jesus said the gospel is Christ suffering. Christ on the cross. Christ nailed by the hands and feet. Christ crucified at the hands of sinful Gentile people. Christ rejected by the Jewish people. They laughed at him to scorn. He saved others. He can't save himself. If he be the Christ, let him come down from the cross and we believe. And Jesus is telling the disciples. Jesus is telling them that the gospel message is it was absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer. Absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer. And we know what men did to him. But in those dark hours on the cross, when his only son was punished by God. I have two boys, as you know, and when they were wee, they were subjected to various punishments and all the rest of it. But the Lord Jesus Christ never did anything wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ never thought anything wrong. The Lord Jesus Christ was never wrong because he was holy and harmless and undefiled. And for 3 hours on the cross, God the Father punished God the Son for my sins. And Jesus is telling these disciples, I want you to go and preach the gospel. I want you to preach from the Bible. I want you to preach that it was absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer. Part 3. Not only was it absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer, but to rise from the dead the third day. I don't know if you actually think or give much thought to the fact that Christ is alive. Do you? No heads, no nothing. Well, let me tell you, if Christ had not risen from the dead, you're still in your sins. You're heading to a lost eternity. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. The Lord Jesus is alive forevermore. He could say, I am he that liveth and became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. A living Savior. What does that tell me? It tells me that a living Savior is able to save. A living Savior is able to save to the uttermost those that come to God through him. That's what the Bible says. Not only is the living Savior able to save, but he's able to keep. I can't make it on through this life on my own, and neither can you. But for those who trust in Jesus, what does he say? I'll not leave you comfortless. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So it was absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer, for Christ to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Repentance. The Gospels are very clear. The Gospels are very, very clear. The first message that Jesus taught to the people was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Those disciples who were empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ, those 12 disciples went out and they would bring a message to the people. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. When Paul and Peter went to preach, what was their message? It was a message of repentance. And wherever you hear the gospel or watch the gospel or listen to the gospel, and good on you if you do, if they're not preaching repentance, it's not the gospel. The command of the Lord Jesus Christ, his disciples, is it was written and necessary for Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead, that repentance should be preached in Jesus' name among all nations. Repentance. Oh, that's an old-fashioned word. That's gospel hall speak. No, it's not. Jesus Christ said, repentance. Repentance of sins should be preached in his name among all people. I don't need that, Robert. Yes, you do, because Jesus said, among all nations, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sins. You need to, what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mindset, number one. But that's not all it is. I am sorry for my sins. Now, I know some people and they're sorry only because they're caught. Oh, I hope you didn't find out about that. That's not repentance. Repentance is, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I am a sinner. I am going down to hell in the lake of fire. And I can't do anything to save myself. I can't be anything to save myself. I can't give anything to save myself. Oh God, have mercy on me. That is repentance. That is repentance, to be sorry for your sins. To cry out to God for mercy and to turn to Christ for salvation. That is repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, as the New Testament teaches. The gospel is in the Bible. It was necessary for Christ to suffer. It was necessary for him to rise again from the dead. It was necessary that repentance of sins be preached in his name, the name of Jesus, among all nations, and remission of sins. Remission of sins. What is remission of sins? How can I have remission of sins? How can I go to bed tonight? How can I go to bed tonight? And I said, it's so cheesy, but I can't think of another word for it, I'm sorry. But how can I go to bed tonight and rest my head on a pillow? It's not language I would use, but how can I go to bed tonight and go to sleep knowing with certainty that if I never wake up, not only will I be in eternity, but I'll be with Christ? How do I have that assurance? How do I know for certain that my sins are forgiven? Jesus said it was necessary that Christ would suffer, to rise from the dead, that repentance of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, and the remission of sins. You could have your sins forgiven. You could have your sins forgiven as if you had never sinned. You could have your sins washed away. You could have peace with God through what Christ did on the cross. When that precious blood was shed on Calvary's cross, when that soldier took that spear and pierced the side of the Lord Jesus, and forthwith came there out blood and water, all the blood of Jesus Christ was shed on Calvary's cross that I could have remission of sins, that I could be cleansed, that my sins could be washed away, that the bad things that I have done could be completely removed, and I have peace with God. Not only are the bad things washed away, but the stains are washed away as well. It's almost as if you had never ever sinned. That's what Jesus told the people to preach. So we go to Acts 17, which we're not going to do because time's up, sadly. What was the response to the gospel? What was the response to the gospel? That Christ has died for sin. Christ has suffered for sin. at the hands of a holy and righteous God, and Christ has died in our place. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Acts 17. When they heard of the resurrection, they mocked. Ha ha ha. What a load of old rubbish. That was their reaction to the people in Acts chapter 17. When they heard of the resurrection from the dead, they mocked. That was bad, wasn't it? I don't think you would do that. But maybe you're like the second group. And some of them said, we'll hear you again of this. We'll hear a wee bit more later on. Don't force the issue here. Don't press us into making the decision now. We'll think about it tomorrow. We'll think about it next Sunday. Who's speaking next Sunday? Ah, we'll try and get and hear a wee bit more next Sunday. No guarantee of tomorrow or next Sunday. Ah, but what? What do we read in Acts 17? Some believed. Some believed the gospel and their lives were transformed forever. New life in Christ, because he's dead, was buried and risen again the third day. That is the five-star gospel message. It's in the Bible. Christ had to suffer. Christ had to rise again from the dead. We need to repent of our sins. We need remission of sins through Jesus' name among all nations. Where do you stand? Where do you stand in the light of eternity? Have you ever come before God and confessed your sins? Admitted before a holy, eternal God, whose Son, Jesus Christ, can be our Savior today, or will be a judge in eternity if we miss it? Where do you stand in the light of eternity? Where do you stand in the light of your sins? Some mocked. Some said, we'll hear it again. And some believed. You know what the Bible tells me? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe and have. Let's close our eyes. Our Father, we bless you for the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus. This is the message that Jesus told his disciples to preach. That was what was written of him in the scriptures. That was absolutely necessary for Christ to suffer. And to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Father, this is the same gospel message that can save, that can transform lives, that can change lives from going down to the pit to go to heaven, that can change burdened souls into souls set free to serve Christ. So we just pray, Father, that Christ will have been glorified in the presentation of the gospel.